Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Mary Griffith Show. I'm Scott Hardy, in for the vacationing Mary Griffith. And as always, the Mary Griffith Show is sponsored by Hilbing Auto Body. When it happens to you, be sure to take it to Hilbing. We're coming up on 9:18, a little bit later on in the hour. We're going to hear a best of the Mary Griffith Show, where Mary talked with Jack Freiberg about the current exhibits at the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County. Very fascinating things about Quincy and Adams County's past. But let's go ahead now and get on the line with none other than Josh Johnson from the Adams County Health Department to talk about your future plans, mainly for the summer and the holidays. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Glad to be along.
How are you guys?
We're doing great. Doing great. Now, of course, obviously, at the health department, a lot of what you've had to deal with has been the coronavirus and coronavirus-related things, but we're not going to be talking so much about that. There are other health issues that you always have to deal with, and one of those is just people being safe with how they handle food during the summer.
Correct. Usually, safe food handling, stick to four simple steps. You're cleaning, you're separating, you're cooking, you're chilling. And then different aspects of, you know, what comes with each one of those.
Yeah, and you make it sound so simple, but it's like when people get distracted, it can be a problem. But like you said, it's just several steps in order to make sure that your food is safe. And let's go over each one of them if you want to go ahead and start with the first one.
Yeah, no problem. You know, cleaning, obviously washing hands, cleaning your surfaces often, making sure you're washing your cutting board, your dishes, your utensils. You know, having paper towels to clean up those messes. I guess with separation, you know, making sure your raw meats are separated from your ready-to-eat foods at all times, especially when you're transporting them. It's not a bad idea to have, you know, your meats in one cooler, your beverages and other items in another cooler. You know, and cooking, of course, making sure you're, you know, maybe not always relying on, your texture and your color of what your meats are cooked to, but, you know, taking a food thermometer along with you, making sure those foods get cooked to a safe minimal internal temperature. And of course, you know, when you're done eating, you know, people talking, you know, maybe talking too much sometimes, and then next thing you know, the food gets left out maybe for a little too long, but making sure we're chilling those foods, you know, as promptly as possible within the first 2 hours. If it's really, really hot outside, making sure it's done within that first hour of you know, completion of the food.
Yeah, you mentioned cooking foods to the correct temperature, but depending on the food, it's not going to be all the same temperature, is it?
Correct. Normally, you know, beef, you want to make sure, you know, if it's whole cuts of beef, like your steaks, you know, those are always going to be cooked to 145 degrees. Your chicken's a big one, obviously, at 165 degrees. You know, really, those are the two most popular meats that people are taking to picnics nowadays. You know, there might be some other things that, you know, you want to cook, you know, and each food, if you want to say, has a different temperature that's related to it. You know, and even as much as, you know, people want to not maybe use a thermometer, but sometimes it's always best to have one because, you know, everybody likes their meat, you know, cooked to a different quality too, and it's not a bad thing to have that around for, you know, if you don't want your meat overcooked or even undercooked for that matter. It's always good to have around for that purpose also.
Exactly. And one thing that you mentioned, the fact that with beef, and I know it's with beef and pork, the federal government, they've lowered that temperature. It used to be 165, but they've lowered it, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit, I guess. You know, I've always known it's, you know, and I guess when you deal with it every day, it's a little bit different, but, you know, they have over the years. It used to be, you know, your hot holding temperature, especially, was always at 140, and they've lowered that down to 135 degrees. Whereas, you know, your chicken's always pretty much stayed at 165, but, you know, when in doubt type of thing, you know, people are going to always cook it longer than what it might look like. You know, obviously you're going to cook it to a certain temperature, you know, if you look at it, it's not going to always look done. Normally, when you look at stuff that's, you know, cooked 165 degrees with chicken, doesn't always look like it's, you know, appetizing possibly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cooking it longer for that period of time is always going to, you know, be on the safe side more than the other side too.
Right.
So.
And if you've ever watched, and some of, a lot of our audience probably hasn't, but if you really get into any type of barbecuing, the way that digital thermometers for cooking have advanced over the last few years, they're actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot of different apps that you can get on your phones now that are hooked up to thermometers that you can, you know, follow along on your phone if need be, as far as, you know, making sure that you're checking on those things at certain times, you know, for certain temperatures, you know, other things too, as far as, you know, just having a pro always hooked up to the meat and always knowing what your temperature is at all times.
Yeah, you don't even, they're not even any wired anymore. You can get them wireless.
No, they're all wireless, right.
Yeah, you can get them wireless on your phone. Whenever you reach the temperature that you want, it'll even send you an alarm and a message saying, hey, I'm done. So.
Yep. It will.
it's pretty cool stuff to check out. So it may cost a little bit more than the traditional one, but boy, for convenience and making sure that you've got that temperature perfect, it doesn't come better than that. So we've talked about making sure that you clean, making sure that you cook, you know, meats and other things, preferably the way that they should be cooked. And what else do we need to talk about then?
Well, I mean, it's always definitely a big thing to, you know, to keep your food separate, as far as, you know, everybody's going to, if you're going to be taking a, you know, a meat dish, otherwise, you know, some type of a casserole, something of that nature, to where you are, you know, when you take them to your picnic, you know, it's not a bad idea to keep them separate. Therefore, they're not, you know, possible cross-contamination going on between your raw meats and your ready-to-eat foods that would be, you know, obviously eaten at one point in time or not. You know, the other big one too, I know people always talk about with separation is, you know, making sure you're, you know, you're keeping your, you know, I guess the big thing would be, you know, as far as when you're done with cooking your meat after, you know, having it on that certain plate, you know, if you have, you know, able to get, you know, your clean hot soapy water, cleaning that dish, or just, you know, taking as many utensils or as many plates and stuff that you can use. That way you don't have to worry about, you know, wash, rinsing, and sanitizing those plates right then and there. You can just get a fresh one, and, you know, that way you're not, you know, cross-contaminating anything that way too. So.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't, if you take a plate, you know, you carry the steaks out, carry them out to your grill, don't use that same plate to transport your steaks back in, unless you put something down like aluminum foil or something like that.
Right, right. And, you know, and when in doubt, if that's the only plate you have, you know, if you do have access to the soap and water, you know, obviously, you know, clean it the best you can, rinse it the best you can, and then you can use it. But, you know, if you have access to more, you know, more the merrier, so to speak, you know, always use, you know, something different than what you than what the raw food was on, correct?
Exactly. We're coming up on 9:26. My guest this morning is Josh Johnson from the Adams County Health Department, and we are talking about food safety for you this spring and this summer, because you're going to be, especially after the past year and a half, you're going to be outside more. I know a lot of people are going to want to do that, so we're just trying to give you some tips and information in order for you to stay safe with your summer travel plans, and really having types of containers with those cold food items, having a container that can keep that item as cold as it possibly can will really help you out, won't it?
Right, right. And, you know, more than the container, you know, ice is always your best friend. You know, even though if it is hot outside, it's hard to keep it, you know, as ice, obviously. But, you know, replacing that ice, you know, taking, you know, taking those foods and being able to, you know, to cool them as cold as possible, especially on a hot summer day or hot even spring day for that matter.
Yeah, because what that that cold does is basically it retards the growth of any type of you know, bug, whatever you want to call it. It retards.
Right. It'll slow it down for sure. Yes.
Right, as long as it possibly can before. Yep. I mean, it eventually is going to grow on it. It's just you slow it down as much as you can. So.
Yep. Yep.
Do people come into the health department, or do they contact you and they're not sure about what symptoms that they may have, if in fact they do have some type of food poisoning, because not all the same symptoms, they don't always present themselves in the same way, do they?
Right, and they you know, they closely mimic a lot of your stomach viruses that, you know, come out there, you know, and that's the hard part is, you know, if there is something going on, you know, they can call us and talk it through with us as far as, you know, where they've eaten, you know, what they might have been doing the last, you know, 24 to 48 hours, even 72 hours, you know, past the time, because it's not always necessarily, you know, the food you ate 24 hours ago or the last thing you ate as far as that goes. Sometimes it might even be in something that is, you know, further back in their, and you know, in their, you know, in what they ate for, you know, the last even 72 hours, like I said. So
exactly. We're coming up on 9:28. We're going to take a break. We're going to check in with the folks from the IRSA Farmers Co-op to get you an update on commodities. Our guest is Josh Johnson with the Adams County Health Department, talking about summer food safety and some things that you can do in order to make your cookout and your picnics that much safer. We'll be back with more on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show on this sunny Monday morning with highs today near 64, sponsored by Hilbing Auto Body. When it happens to you, be sure to take it to Hilbing. On the line now from the Adams County Health Department, we've been talking with Josh Johnson about proper food safety. Thanks for holding on, Josh. Appreciate it very much. One thing that we didn't really touch on yet is when you are getting your foods ready to go out to the picnic or even just out to the backyard, you call it site prep, and that's very important too, isn't it?
Yes, I was going to say, I mean, site prep or just even when you get ready to serve your food, you know, the main thing you want to make sure, and it sounds very simple when you say it, but it's, you know, sometimes not as simple, but, you know, keeping your cold foods cold, keeping your hot foods hot, as far as, you know, making sure your cold foods are kept below 41 degrees at all times as much as you can possibly, and keeping those hot foods, you know, hotter than 135 degrees after they've been cooked, or even if you're, you know, preparing that casserole and you're taking it to that picnic, or even just, you know, serving it at your house, you know, somehow, some way, keeping it above 135 degrees is the main way you want to go. And then some other things too to you know, keep track of, you know, as far as making sure if you can't have water and soap available, as far as with some type of a water jug to wash your hands, you know, having, you know, sanitizer would be the next best thing. And I know we're all familiar with that here in the last, within the last year. I'm sure it's readily available more than what we want it to be sometimes. But other than that, I mean, just mainly, like I said, keeping hot foods hot, cold foods cold, you know, making sure they are in containers that, you know, that can keep those temperatures, you know, at those points.
Right. And before we kind of scare anybody into thinking, oh, my gosh, I need all sorts of thermometers, not really. You just need to have, whether you want to call them Tupperware or coolers or anything like that, that are in good shape. Because if they're in good shape, they're going to do that for you.
Right. And the integrity of dishes, the integrity of, you know, utensils, equipment, whatever you want to call it, you know, goes a long way because, yeah, if you have something that isn't going to really keep your food at the temperature you want it, it's kind of defeating the purpose. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you do have some time, you know, as far as, you know, making sure what they call the temperature danger zone isn't going to enter into, you know, anybody's picnic. But, you know, as far as, you know, making sure when everybody is done, making sure within the next 2 hours, getting the cold food put away where it needs to be kept cold, and even the hot food, you know, as far as leftovers, you know, getting into those dishes and start cooling down the proper way, you know, and putting those things in coolers, freezers, ice, whatever you want to do to cool it down, so therefore somebody else can enjoy it later on down the road and not, you know, eat something that, you know, that they shouldn't as far as getting sick from it.
Right, right, and exactly. And like we covered before, if you know, you do happen to eat something and you think it's great, but then something happens afterwards, you know, don't just slough it off as thinking, oh, I've got allergies, because sometimes it could even be just as something as you're not just doubled over in pain from stomach cramps. It could be just as something as like sniffles or a nose that won't stop running. So.
Yep. Well, and you brought up a good point as far as allergies go. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, some people know that other people have allergies, and, you know, some people don't know that. And, you know, there's a couple different things you can go along with as far as preventing those things from happening, especially, you know, in just the aftercare of the food as far as that goes, too. You're right.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's just basically, Josh, as I'm sure you say all the time, it's just a matter of common sense and stuff that your folks taught you.
Communication, right. Yeah. You know, and having enough wherewithal to know that, you know, if it's 95 degrees outside and, you know, everybody's stuffed from eating, that, you know, obviously, the you know, if you're, you know, having a few beers, talking with your friends and family, that, you know, hey, don't forget about the last part as far as, you know, putting the food, you know, in, into something that keeps it cold or into something that keeps it warm, or, you know, putting it somewhere where, you know, where it won't hurt somebody in the long, you know, down the road as far as when they want to eat the food again. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And one other thing that we didn't consider, if you're like, if you're out camping in the woods and, you know, you've got basically, you don't have any more ice, but you've got that kind of cold water, then it's almost a point, it's like an entirely different question, because it's like, you think, oh, I'll just throw this food out. But then it's like, well, wait a minute, I'm out here in the woods. How far do I need to get that food away so that I don't attract certain things?
Well, that's a good point, yes. And I can't speak on on the woods as far as, you know, the animals that might be attracted to the types of food you're eating. But, you know, it's not a bad idea to, you know, like you said earlier, if there is no means of keeping the food hot or cold, you know, yes, when in, you know, the old saying, when in doubt, throw it out type of thing always plays into it. You know, if it's something that you know you're not really going to eat later on down the road, and sometimes the best thing is to get rid of it. Other things that you know you want to save because you know you want to partake in later, you know, best thing to do is, you know, it's not always a bad idea to, you know, pack some ice, pack something that, you know, you're going to be able to keep that food cold and be able to eat it later on down the road. So.
Exactly. It's just, you know, it's the same thing if you're trying to diet. Common sense and portion control, really. So, yeah.
Yep.
Our guest this morning has been Josh Johnson from the Adams County Health Department, talking about summer food safety. Thank you so much. Pleasure talking to you,
no problem.
Sir. You bet. Thank you.
Same to you. Thank you guys for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on here this morning on the Mary Griffith Show here on WTAD.